Well, good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? Yes, it is a good day to be here. If you're new here, my name's Kevin Valentine. I'm the lead pastor here. Thank you for joining us. We have a really special day planned for you, especially with what we're going to do near the end of the service. I'm really excited for what God might have for you this morning. But we are wrapping up our series called Decoding the Divine, where we've been talking about these big concepts about God and breaking them down, decoding them, making them understandable and practical and meaningful and applicable to your everyday life. And through this series, we've been teaching through what is called the Trinity in Christianity. Now, the word Trinity, it's never used in the Bible, but the reality of the Trinity is woven throughout. It's just kind of a word we use to describe God. It's this concept taught in Scripture of one God in three distinct persons. We have God the Father, He created everything. We have God the Son, Jesus, God in the flesh. He died for our sins to repair our broken relationship with the Father. And then the one we don't talk about much, but we're going to talk about today, and that is God the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. Now, if you grew up in certain denominations, it was like the Holy Ghost, right? And when you were a kid, that was freaky. That's like, pull your hands in, don't put them outside the bed, because it's like something might get you. That's kind of how it was, sounded spooky when you were a kid. But it's like maybe you were taught, you know, when you were growing up, and maybe you're around the church, but like the Spirit is like a mist, or it's like a force. You see it on Star Wars, or it's an it, useful, mysterious, mostly for super spiritual people. Like, we're just like, oh, that you're getting into the spiritual stuff there. I don't really know much about that. Well, what's interesting, when you get into the Bible and how it teaches us about the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, it really paints a much better picture. The Holy Spirit is fully God. So the Holy Spirit is 100% God, personal, present, powerful, promised to every believer in Jesus. And there's this crucial shift along the timeline of the Bible. So like in the first half of the Bible, the Old Testament, like the headline is God with us, right? You've got the burning bush where Moses talks to God in the bush. You've got the tabernacle, the temple. You've got like a cloud by day and fire by night leading the Israelites. And that's kind of like God with us. But then you like get to the New Testament. Jesus coming to earth, and suddenly the headline changes from God with us to God in us. God in us. If you belong to Jesus, the reality of God in us changes everything. Where your confidence comes from, how you find direction in your life, how you handle pressure and pain, how you grow as a person and grow spiritually. And let me just say this, because I know not everybody in here would call themselves a Christian right now. And if you don't, if you haven't stepped across the line of faith and you're watching online and you're like going, maybe the God thing is what I need. Maybe you're trying to figure out that piece. Let me tell you what's so good that you're here for is because today is a window in showing you, revealing what becomes possible when you say yes to Jesus. You don't get like a new set of rules stapled onto your life. You actually have a new power at the center of your life. But here's where we kind of run into problems for many sincere believers, right? You try to follow Jesus in your own strength. You kind of like white knuckle your faith. And you got phrases like, I just got to do better. Or I'm going to stop that. I'm finally going to fix this. I'm just going to try harder. I'm going to figure this out. And we mean it. But willpower alone can't produce a spiritual life. Like, it can modify behavior for a week or two. That's what willpower can do. And you know, let me just tell you how I know how long willpower can work. How many brand new gym memberships happen January 1st? And how many are unused by February 1st? That's willpower. I'm going to do this. That's what willpower will get you. Or I'm gonna lose weight. How many people? It's like, how many yo-yo dieters out there? How many diets have you been on in your lifetime? It could be dozens. And you're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to willpower this. That's about how long willpower lasts. A week, 2 weeks, maybe a month. Willpower cannot transform a heart for a lifetime. So what happens is, if you're a sincere believer, you're white knuckling your faith, you end up frustrated by the same patterns that everyone else has. We do what we don't want to do. We don't do the good things that we want to do. We make promises to other people that don't last through the weekend. We lie awake and we whisper, never again. Never again am I going to do that, only to repeat the cycle by Friday. I want to say something that I want you to remember. Trying to follow God without God always fails. Trying to follow God without God, you're always going to fail. In enters the Holy Spirit. One of the definitions of the miraculous is when the supernatural enters into the natural. Let me just tell you, there's nothing more supernatural than the Spirit of God. And there's nothing more natural than you, a human being. So the Holy Spirit of God entering into a person, invading and dwelling within a believer, there's a miracle there and there's power there. This is why in 1 Corinthians it says, your body is a temple. And that has nothing to do with how good I would look in a bathing suit, okay? Nothing to do with that. It ain't pretty, by the way. Your body as a temple is a reality statement. God has chosen to place his presence in ordinary people. Think about the dignity of that. The creator of galaxies has made his home not in a place with marble halls, but in you. In you. Well, what does that mean? The Spirit of God in me, how does that work? Today, we're going to let Jesus tell us about the Spirit of God and what it means for the Spirit of God to be in me. In the last chapter of the book of John, Jesus is telling the disciples that he's going to leave them. Now think about it. They like landed jelly side up in this deal. I mean, they landed in Jesus's inner circle. They like watch him do these things. He's doing miracles. It's crazy what they're witnessing. He looks them in the eye. He treats them like people, like other rabbis would have thrown these guys out. And Jesus says, come follow me. And now he's telling them, hey, I'm leaving you. And they've got to be thinking, wait, we're just getting started. We're like 3 years into this thing. Like, we're young. Many of them were teenagers. They're like, we got our whole lives. And now Jesus is saying, well, I'm leaving. I'm going back to heaven is what Jesus, I'm going back to the one who sent me. And then John 16:7, he says, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. But if I do go away, then I will send him to you. So what does this verse tell us right here? First of all, the Holy Spirit says advocate, also translated as a comforter. But what does this tell us? The Holy Spirit is not an it. It is a he. It is a person of God. That's what the Holy Spirit is. In another translation, Jesus says, hey, it is to your advantage if I leave and send the Holy Spirit. He says in John 14:16, and I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate or counselor who will never leave you. He's the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him, doesn't recognize him. But you know him, key right here, you know him, you know the Holy Spirit, because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Who lives with them now? Who's he talking about? Himself. He's like, you know, Holy Spirit, because he's living with you now. He's talking about Jesus. Jesus is talking about himself. He says, you know, the Holy Spirit, because he lives with you now, and later somehow, they had no concept of this, later somehow, the Holy Spirit of God, third person of the Trinity, will be in you. So, let's say you got to choose, right? Let's say you got to choose, and whatever you chose is what you would get. And God says, okay, your choice. You can have the Spirit of God in you or Jesus beside you. Your choice. You can have the Spirit of God in you or you can have Jesus beside you. Like Jesus could be your roommate. What would you choose? What would you choose? In you or beside you? I think a lot of us, we'd probably think, you know what? I'd rather have Jesus as my roommate. Because think about it, if Jesus was your roommate, think about this. Think if you ran out of food. Think about that. Jesus could feed the whole house, the whole street, the whole neighborhood with one Chick-fil-A meal. Feed everybody. And because he did miracles on Sunday, he could do it. He could get Chick-fil-A on Sunday. Can I get an amen right there? Like, seriously. Or if you didn't have money for taxes, right? You need to pay your taxes. You could go fishing and you could catch a fish, and in the fish's mouth could be all the money you needed to pay all of your taxes. Jesus did that one time. Your 24-hour flu could be like 20-minute flu. You could be like, Jesus healed. Like, it could be like that. It could be that simple. If you're tempted to do something and you're like, oh, this looks like this is going to be good. I know it's not right, but I want to do it. You'd be like going to do it and you'd be like, there's Jesus. What do you do then? You're like, I can't do that. I'm out. Like, I'm not going to do that with Jesus right beside me. Your dog could run out in the street, get run over and die. And Jesus could come and raise your dog from the dead. Your cat could run out in the street and die. And Jesus could do the funeral and help you bury it. While it may seem awesome that you had Jesus in the flesh next to you, Jesus says it's actually to your advantage. He says it's actually best that he leaves and sends the helper, the Spirit of God, to not just hang out with you, but to live inside of you, to dwell in you, to give you access to God's power internally. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Same power of God that raised Jesus from the dead in the Gospel of John. I'm going to give you a little bit of homework. Do this on your own. Go read John. It's the fourth gospel in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapters 14, 15, and 16. Jesus gives us 10 reasons why it is to your advantage that he leaves earth and sends the Holy Spirit. I'm going to cover 7 of those today. It is like today is a note taker's dream. If you like taking notes, like I usually am like 3 or 4 thoughts in here. I got 7 for you. So like take notes, take them liberally. But if you are not a Christian, I want to tell you why you need to listen today. If you're watching online, you're checking out this faith thing, you need to listen because your life will never feel fulfilled and whole. You will never find life to the full without the Holy Spirit of God living in you. It's not possible. You were created with a God-shaped hole in your soul, and the only one that can fill it is God through the work of his Holy Spirit. And if you are a Christian and you feel powerless over sin, you just can't say no. You don't know what God wants you to do right now. You have no clue. You have faith that is kind of waning depending on how your life's going at the time. You can't remember the last time God showed up in your life in a supernatural way. You're going through the motions uninspired by God. It is time for you to plug back in to the power source that you have already been given, and I hope today is a turning point for you. Hope it's a turning point for you. So let's buckle up, get your wrist all flexed and ready to go. We're going to learn what Jesus from Jesus what the Holy Spirit's role is. 7 reasons. It's to your advantage. The Holy Spirit is in you in no particular order. Some of these are going to be really quick, but you need to write them down. The very first one is to empower you to share your faith. The Holy Spirit empowers you to share your faith. In Acts 1, Jesus says to his disciples, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. I just read that verse. Right after that, he says, and with that power, you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth through the power of the Holy Spirit. How do most people meet Jesus? Through someone telling them about him. How are your friends and coworkers and neighbors and family members who don't know Jesus going to find out about who he is? Can I suggest to you that God has placed you in their life to be a witness, telling them about him. That's how they're going to find out about Jesus, through you. And the advantage of the power of the Holy Spirit within you is the Holy Spirit will give you the power to do it and the words to say when you open your mouth. And that's the number one reason I hear from people, well, I can't talk about faith. I can't talk about Jesus. I don't want to bring it up because I don't know what to say. I don't know enough. I got to know more. I got to study more. Or it's like, I'm afraid I'm going to run them off. Or it's like, my life might not be up to the perfect standards that like the pastor's is. No pastor, but my life isn't perfect, so therefore I can't talk about Jesus to other people because they're going to see what I do, and then they're going to go like, oh, whatever. Can I just tell you that one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to give you, empower you, to be a witness about Jesus to the people around you, and when you open your mouth, miraculously, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say, will bring to mind what you need to share with that person so they might lean in and turn a little towards Jesus. It's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit. Those of you who would say you are a mature believer in your faith, let me just ask you this. When's the last time you shared your faith? I mean, shared your faith. When's the last time you were a witness telling people about Jesus? If you don't remember the last time, if it is like months ago, or you're talking years ago, you're flipping the calendar, oh, I was this one time back then. If that's it, are you plugged in to the Holy Spirit? Because one of his roles is to empower you to be a witness about Jesus. When you open your mouth, he will fill it with words for the person that you're talking to because you were willing. That's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit. Second reason it's an advantage to have the Holy Spirit in you is the Spirit of God reveals God's presence inside of you. At the end of Matthew 28, the Great Commission, Jesus tells us in verse 19, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This verse is why we do what we do. We are here to live out the Great Commission and to tell the world about Jesus, make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, November 9th. If you have not been baptized as an adult, just like Shay said, if you have not made that choice and been baptized, it is your next step spiritually. If you're a follower of Jesus, that is your next step. Would you take it November 9th? Go online, sign up for it. We'd love to celebrate that with you. We'd love to celebrate the crud out of you that day. It'd be so fun. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this important part of the verse. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm with you always. I'm never not with you, even to the end of the age. Some of you have no idea what you have on the inside of you. If you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, which if you've stepped across the line of faith, you do. When you step into the room, the Holy Spirit of God steps into the room with you. Do you understand that that is what's happening? And wherever his perfect love is, the spirit of fear ain't. It can't be there. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Fear is not a feeling. Fear is not a personality makeup. Fear is a spirit that does not come from God. And the spirit of God in the believer is like turning on the lights in a dark room. Never one time has darkness overtaken light. Light always pushes darkness out. When you show up in the room and you have the spirit of God in you, the light of Christ in you, when you walk in the room, darkness flees. Every time you step into a room, you bring the presence of God with you. Do you understand that? The Holy Spirit reveals that, reveals the power of God in you. If you are plugged in to the power source, when you enter the room, the presence of God enters the room with you, and the atmosphere of the room changes because you walked in with the Holy Spirit inside you. The Holy Spirit empowered, like it reveals that when you walk in the room. He's always with you to the end of the age. You bring the light of Christ with you. It's a role of the Holy Spirit. Third advantage, the Spirit of God in you. The Spirit of God will teach you the things that Jesus wants you to know. John 14, verse 26, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he'll teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you. I heard a pastor say this in a sermon, and it just resonated super deeply with me. He said this. He said, my sermons are moderately delivered and exceptionally received. I love that. And I'll just say this. Look, I'm a good teacher. Hopefully I'm not bad. I'm not great. But the sermons that you hear are moderately delivered, but exceptionally received by you. Why? The only reason they are exceptionally received by you is because those of you that have stepped across the line of faith have the Holy Spirit in you, and the Holy Spirit is the real preacher here, not me. And I will tell you, I pray every time I get on this stage that you wouldn't hear me. I have nothing for you of eternal value, zero. But God does. And my prayer is that you would receive the words of God through a doofus like me, and that the Holy Spirit will somehow, and this is one of my prayers, that somehow in the millisecond that words come out of my mouth through this dumb little microphone and out of those speakers, that somehow the Holy Spirit just takes it and turns it just enough to be exactly what you need. That's his job. Holy Spirit, teach you the things that Jesus wants you to know. And then, not only will he teach you of what he wants you to know, he'll remind you of what you've been taught. I love that. That's why you need to be in God's word. Don't forget this. Every time, every single time you open up God's word and read the Bible, it is an opportunity for you to be taught the things that Jesus wants you to know or be reminded of the things that you've learned. Every single time. It's incredible. Think about it. The Holy Spirit of God carried men and women along, and they wrote down the words that God gave them to write. That's what the Bible is. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit. God inspired men and women to write the words of God on paper for us. So when you who have the Spirit of God within you open up the words of God written to you, there is something supernatural that happens. And suddenly this book that is confusing for most to read suddenly becomes understandable. And things jump off the page that you've read 50 times and all of a sudden it's hitting you. And you're like, oh, I've never seen that before. That's the Holy Spirit at work just going, hey, you need this now. You've read it 50 times, but now in your life, this moment, this is for you. That's what God does. And I'll just tell you this. I can expose you to the word of God, but I can't expose the word of God to you. It's the Holy Spirit. That's what the Spirit of God does. If you've learned anything at this church, it's because the Spirit of God helped you learn it. Let me tell you. And you learned it because Jesus wanted you to know it. And I love it because Melissa and I, we joke, because I'm pretty much the same guy up here that I am like down there. I feel like there's no difference between the front of this stage and the first set of seats here. I'm just a normal guy using the gifts that God gave me. But it's funny because when I said that to Melissa, probably about a couple years ago, and I'm like authenticity is so important here. I'm the same guy on stage that I am out in the world. And she's like, no, you're not. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, you say stuff on stage that I'm just like, well, that's not Kevin talking because he's not that smart. Like, and that she didn't mean it mean. She's just like, it's so funny. She's like, there is an eloquence when you speak. There's a truth when you speak. Like you say things that you don't say any other place than when I'm here because I feel like the Lord gives me messages for us. And so it's funny. That's kind of our joke. It's like, yeah, I'm an idiot till I'm up here. Suddenly I'm not dumb. You know, that's kind of our inside joke. All right, let's move on from that. The fourth advantage. The fourth advantage of the Holy Spirit inside you is the Spirit of God gives you peace. I wanted to say inner peace, but all that makes me think of is Kung Fu Panda and Skadoosh. Like, I just keep going there like this. So just so you know, I'm an idiot. But Jesus says, I'm leaving. John 14:27. I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world can't give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Just remember what I told you. I'm going away, but I'll come back to you again. Wherever the Spirit of God is, there's a spirit of peace. Jesus told us straight up, just honest. He's like, look, this world, you're going to have trouble, and it's not going to get better. That's just living in this world. But take heart, he says, I've overcome the world. At the cross, Jesus purchased peace for you that transcends understanding, and he sends the Spirit of God to guard your heart and guard your mind in Christ. And the Spirit of God in you is greater than any circumstance you will ever face. God offers peace that transcends understanding. If the Spirit is in you, you have that peace. If you're not a Jesus follower, let me just tell you, you are on a peace quest right now. That is what your whole life is about. If you're not a follower of Jesus, you are on a quest for peace, but you think cash and prizes, a boat and a house on Lake Butler is going to give you that peace. I promise you it won't. You know how expensive seawalls are right now? I'm just kidding. Peace isn't found in a set of circumstances. Peace is found in a person. His name is Jesus. That's the only place you find it. And the only access to that peace is through his Holy Spirit when you believe in Jesus. And the Spirit brings it to you. The Spirit of God gives you peace. Fifth thing, Spirit of God does. The Spirit of God convicts the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. John 16:8. And when he comes, Spirit of God comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. You know the number one sin the Holy Spirit convicts us of is not believing in Jesus? Number one sin. It's the root of all sin. Before you ever get to like lust and greed and covetousness and all these kind of things, the root of all this is that if you really believe that Jesus was your greatest treasure, you wouldn't struggle so much with those other things. So the Spirit of God convicts us of sin. First of all, the sin of not believing in Jesus. And then secondly, it's the sin that when we go off track. And let me just tell you, conviction of the Holy Spirit is this warm invitation from Jesus saying, you're going the wrong way. The path you're on, I know it seems fun. I know it seems like everyone else is going down that path. But let me tell you where it leads. Death, destruction, heartache, devastation. That road ends in nothing that you truly want to have in your life. And that is a gift from the Holy Spirit of God in saying, hey, turn away from that. Come back to me. And anytime we obey the voice of the Good Shepherd, it always leads to abundant life. Because when you do that, you're not trying to figure it out white-knuckling it anymore. You're saying, you know what? I can't follow God without God. When the Holy Spirit says, hey, you're going down the wrong road, you're like, oh yeah, that's right. I'm white-knuckling my faith. I'm going down the wrong road. I need to turn back because I can't follow God without God. I need him. I want to listen to his voice. And when he lets me know I'm getting off track, I want to get back on track. That's called repentance, by the way. It's when you're going one way and you realize it's the wrong way and you completely turn around and shift direction and go back towards God. That's what repentance is. So the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, convicts the world concerning righteousness. The Spirit of God reminds us, you know what I was? I was a crooked, wretched, black-hearted sinner, but now I'm the righteousness of Christ. He has made me right by his death on the cross, and I am blameless and in right relationship with him. The Holy Spirit reminds us, look at what you were, and look at what Jesus has done, and look at who you are now. That is a beautiful thing. And then the Spirit of God will convict the world concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has already been judged. There is a coming day, a coming judgment, and if you have not submitted and surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, then you will be under the same judgment as the ruler of this world, and that is Satan, and he will spend an eternity in hell. So let me just tell you this, newsflash, if you are a believer in Christ, this is as close to hell as you will ever be. If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, this is as close to heaven as you will ever be. It is that simple. And the Holy Spirit allows us to understand that. It's the work of the Holy Spirit inviting you to turn away from a pathway that leads to death and destruction in this world, but also leads to death and destruction eternally. So the Holy Spirit's pursuing you. The Holy Spirit has been after you. If you're here checking out the God thing, you're not here by accident. You've actually been drawn here by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you might not know what that means. You might not kind of get that quite yet, but that's what's happening. So respond. God is actively trying to save you for all of eternity. The sixth reason the Holy Spirit in you is to your advantage. The Spirit of God will guide you in all truth. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all truth. He'll not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He'll tell you about the future. He'll bring glory. He'll bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. And I'll just say this. We've got more information now than anyone in history, and we have less wisdom than anyone in history. It's like we know a lot of stuff, but we're just idiots. We will believe anything. We are so gullible. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to guide us in all truth. And we need that. Satan is a liar. He is unbelievably good at it. He's always trying to bait us to go down a road that leads to death and destruction. And the Spirit of God every single time is like, don't go that way. That's not the right way. That is not the way to life. That is a lie. That is a facade. The grass isn't greener. It's actually rotten to its core. It's a job of the Holy Spirit. It's just to lead us to truth. You guys, you've heard that voice. This isn't a good idea. You've heard it. This could hurt a lot of people if you go down this road. You heard that voice. This isn't the right thing to do. You know the right thing to do. It's a small whisper most of the time. It's a nudge from the Spirit to move in a different direction. Guides you into all truth. And this might seem crazy to you. And I know there's some people, you're listening to me or you're in the room right now and you're like, this is kind of crazy sounding. Like, are these people sane? Like some spirit talking to you and living in you and blah, blah, blah. You might feel that way, and that's okay. But let me just tell you, if that's you and this is confusing to you and this seems like crazy, like who would believe this? You need to stop and ask God right now to open your eyes to the truth. Because there's a reason you can't see it. Till the Holy Spirit leads you to all truth and opens your eyes to the truth about God, you won't get it. You won't see it. You won't understand it. This will seem like crazy talk to you. Faith in Jesus will not make sense until his Holy Spirit opened your eyes to the truth. And I'll just tell you, I have sat with people and I have laid out the gospel, the way to salvation. I put it on paper. I've shared verses. I've drawn pictures. I couldn't make it clearer. Anybody could understand what I was sharing and what I was saying. And I've had people look me right in the face and go, I don't get it. And I'm like, okay. I'm a pastor. I've been doing this a long time. I went to seminary. I learned stuff. I read stuff. I'm doing my best. And they just look at me and it doesn't make sense. And they ask questions and I can just tell in that moment, it doesn't matter what I say because the Holy Spirit has to unlock the truth. That's his role. And once your eyes are open and you see the truth, you'll never be the same. Never be the same. And if that's you, if right now you're listening and you're sitting here going, this does sound kind of crazy, it's confusing, I don't really know what's happening right now, I just want to encourage you right now to ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes. Just be open. It's a gutsy, life-changing prayer that God always answers. You ask God to open your eyes to his truth, he will never go, nah. It's always, okay, buckle up, because you're about to go on the ride of your life. Seventh thing, last thing we'll talk about today. We need to do a series on this. This is so good. According to Jesus, the Spirit of God, one of the roles of the Spirit of God and why it's an advantage is the Holy Spirit leads us to worship Jesus, leads us to worship Jesus. John 16:14, the Spirit will bring me glory, Jesus talking, by telling you whatever he receives from me. And let me just tell you, the Spirit leads us to worship Jesus. And some people would say, hey, we don't talk about the Holy Spirit enough. We need to talk about the Holy Spirit more. Well, let me just tell you, the Holy Spirit doesn't want us to talk about the Holy Spirit very much, only as much as the Bible does, because all the Holy Spirit wants to do is point us to Jesus. It's all the Holy Spirit does is point to Jesus. Let me tell you, if the Holy Spirit were cast in a play, the role that the Holy Spirit would have is up in that tech booth with a spotlight on Jesus at all times. That's the Holy Spirit. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Let's light him up. Let's light him up. Holy Spirit would be like, don't look at me. I'm back there. I don't matter. I don't matter as much as Jesus does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And this is God, one of the persons of God. What does the Holy Spirit do? Point us to Jesus. Worship Jesus. Put the attention and the spotlight on Jesus. There's one God, three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are in perfectly submitted relationship with one another. And I know sometimes we like to think, well, God the Father, he's like the main one. And Jesus the Son, he's like the nice one. And like the Holy Spirit, that's the weird one. You know, it's like that's kind of how we put it. Well, let me just tell you that the Holy Spirit always points us to Jesus for forgiveness and for worship. Jesus always wants us to bring us to the Father for identity and for healing. And then the Father sends the Holy Spirit to help us know who Jesus is for our salvation and to live our lives for him with power. They are always constantly working in conjunction for our joy, for our salvation, and for the glory of God. That's what they do. Power of the Holy Spirit within you is how you can actually live out your life for Jesus and live it to the full. If you're ever going to win in this life, if your family's ever going to win with Jesus, it will only happen with the power of the Holy Spirit in you, empowering you to share your faith with your family, with your friends, with your neighbors, revealing God's presence within you when you show up in the room, teaching you the things that Jesus wants you to know, giving you peace that passes all understanding, convicting you of sin and righteousness and judgment, guiding you to all truth and leading you to worship Jesus. The Holy Spirit does all of that. So here is the question: how do we access the power of the Holy Spirit? Glad you asked. Ephesians 5, verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Now, that's an interesting beginning, isn't it? Instead, be filled, empowered, controlled, present tense, with the Spirit. Speaking, referring to the power over your tongue, to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing, filled with joy, worship, and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks, having an attitude of gratitude to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another, be humble, serve others out of reverence for Christ. Don't get drunk on wine. Why is Paul bringing up alcohol and wine in an analogy, a beautiful analogy, with the Spirit of God? He is talking about control. If you're drunk on alcohol, what are you controlled by? Alcohol. You're not fully in control. That's why drunk people do things they would never do sober. We acknowledge this. We all know what I'm talking about because you say things like, well, that wasn't me. That was the alcohol talking. That wasn't me. That was the drugs that I was on. I didn't do it. Well, I want to get you to think about this for just a second, why Paul would bring this up when talking about the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're drunk on alcohol, if you aren't in control, and God's not in control, that only leaves one other who could be in control. And all he wants is to steal and kill and destroy you. So the Apostle Paul is teaching us, hey, don't be controlled by alcohol. Instead, be filled with the Spirit of God. He's making a direct comparison. Be under the influence of the Spirit of God and nothing else. And the tense of the verb Paul uses to keep being filled. It's a continual thing. Daily be filled with the Holy Spirit. All throughout the day, you can talk to God. You can pray. You can connect in from your heart to his. You can listen. You can have one ear towards heaven, one ear towards earth. When you do that, God takes you from being your old self, controlled by your sinful nature, to a new creation, controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. You're no longer what you used to be. You have a new power source, and that new power source fills you continually with what we call the fruits of the Spirit of God, the output from the input of God's Spirit. Galatians 5, another homework. I'm giving you a lot of homework. Galatians 5, go read it. What are the results? The output of the Spirit of God in you: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Who in here doesn't need a little more self-control? We all do. Where do you get it? Holy Spirit of God, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. So real quick, three things. How do you get filled with the Holy Spirit? One, expect the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Do you wake up every day expecting God to talk to you? Do you live with an expectation that this loving Father in heaven, who has actually put his Spirit in you, wants to talk to you every single day? And are you expecting his voice? Because if you're not, there's a good chance you're going to miss it if it shows up. And chances you're not even listening half most of the day anyways, because you don't expect it. Every single day, invite the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Listen for his voice and then do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. It's like one of my prayers that I pray a lot is, God, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? Holy Spirit, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? What the Spirit tells you will always line up with Scripture. It will be for your benefit or someone else's. The Holy Spirit will never shame you, never condemn you, will just nudge you towards the things of God and then empower you with the strength to go do it. Second thing is read God's Word daily. If you're not in God's Word on your own, you are missing out on one of the key ways that the Holy Spirit of God speaks to us. It's through his Word. And if you don't understand it, you know what an incredible prayer is? Holy Spirit, reveal the truth that you want me to know in this book that you wrote for me. And he will. Just ask. And then the last one, if you never have, invite Jesus into your life for the first time. Maybe you feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit right now. And you know enough that you're like, I got to step across the line of faith. There's just a yearning, a knocking on your heart, a desire, a leaning in to God in a new, fresh way. That is the Holy Spirit that is just inviting you to create a relationship with the Most High through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. That nudge, that push, that's the Holy Spirit just going, let me in, build a relationship with me. Your life will never be the same. And if you're ready to do that right now, because some of you are, I want to give you the opportunity to do that. Let's bow our heads and pray. If now is your time, you're ready to just finally listen and respond to the Spirit of God calling you home, calling you to this Father that loves you, calling you to salvation. Just you can pray, make my words yours. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. Today I give my life to you. I believe you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross to pay for my sins. And today I ask for your forgiveness. Jesus, I invite you into my life to be my Lord and Savior. I commit my life to you. Help me as much as I understand it to live for you for the rest of my days. Open my ears to your Holy Spirit. Open my mind to understanding your word. And open my heart to follow you wherever you lead. Your holy name. Amen. I want to do something that's really important right now for everybody in the room. I mean, you at home too, if you want to. But if you don't have a note card and a pen, you need one right this moment. And it's important because I believe that God has something for you today. And I want you to write it down. So if you don't have a note card and a pen, ushers are coming right now. Just raise your hand. They will bring it to you. You need it. Please don't pass up this opportunity because we're going to put into practice what we just talked about. It's an important moment. It's the most important part of this service is the next 5 minutes, next 7 minutes. So just raise your hand. They'll bring you a note card and a pen. One of the reasons many of us don't hear from God is we don't give him time where we just listen. We don't sit still enough and quiet enough to open our hearts and to let the Spirit do what only the Spirit of God can do, and that is speak to us. And so we're going to give the Holy Spirit some time this morning to talk to you. And I'm going to ask you to write down what he says. That is so important. Don't miss the opportunity. And this may be uncomfortable for some of you. I'm just telling you. But I know the next 3 to 4 minutes will be beneficial for all of us because we're just going to make space for the Holy Spirit to work. We're going to practice listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit who's already inside you. And over the next few minutes, there's going to be 3 prayer prompts. They're going to be invitations that I want to invite you to pray. And speak to the Holy Spirit as you open your heart and your mind to his voice. They're prayers of invitation to the Spirit of God to move and to speak and to minister to you. And I want to encourage you to have an expectation over the next few minutes for God to speak to you, for the Holy Spirit to speak. And I'll just tell you, I have an expectation in this moment for you. I've been praying for this moment all week. just asking God that he would be so present, that he would talk to you and that you would hear him, that you would write it down, you would do whatever he told you. I expect the Holy Spirit to do that right now. And if you're not a Christian, let me just tell you, if you're not a Christian, you're not ready to step across the line, it's okay. Maybe you can just be quiet for the next few minutes, or maybe you ask God to reveal himself to you, or maybe you think about your week a little bit coming up, like being quiet is really good for us, good for your mind. But if you're a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is desperate to speak to you because he's got things that he wants you to know and things that he wants you to do. So in those next moments when he speaks, just be a gentle whisper. Could be a picture that he shows you. Could be like a little reel, like on Facebook, a little video. Just show you something. Could bring a person to your mind that you need to reach out to, that you need to witness to. Could be just encouragement for you. Or he might give you encouragement for somebody else. Whatever it is, could be a passage of scripture that he brings to you that you learned a long time ago and it's just really relevant right now. Whatever that is, I can't encourage you enough to just write it down. Even if you're like, I don't know if this is God or not, just write it down. You just write it down. Be disciplined. Write it down in this expectatious moment. You know if that's a word. Moment of expectation. The Holy Spirit to do what only he can do. And so over the next like 4 minutes or so, three prompts. And I want you to just say them quietly from your heart. You can say them out loud. They're going to be up on the screen. The first one I'm going to put up right now. It'll be up there for about 60 seconds. The next one will come up. It'll be there for 90 seconds. And the last one will be there for about 90 seconds. And I'm going to pray over us before we get into this. And it's just a prayer of invitation for us as a church. So let's close our eyes. Jesus, we know that you want to talk right now to us through your Holy Spirit. So we invite you to fill this room with your tangible presence and your clear communication, your encouragement. Speak to us. Your servants are listening. So over the next few minutes, let's just be open. Work through these prayer prompts. Write down what God says, and then I'll be up in just a few to kind of talk about what to do next. Thank you. want to encourage you. Whatever God said to you, that you wrote down, it's important. Because it's from the one who loves you. You know, 2-3 times a week in my prayer time, I just set an alarm for 10 minutes on my phone. I just listen. I pray through these prayer prompts. Just stuff like that. Just open. Just God, I'm listening. Like, what do you have for me? Sometimes I'm bringing to him a problem or a situation or direction that I need. I just lay it before him. What do you want me to do? And I just listen. Other times I don't have anything on the agenda. I'm just speak. What do I need to know? What do I need to do? But whatever you wrote down, would you commit to doing it? Would you commit to doing it? Making the phone call? Talking to somebody, tell somebody what you wrote down, add some accountability to it. And what's interesting about hearing from God and then doing it is, see, God knows. And if you go through enough times of him speaking and you not doing it, it becomes harder and harder to hear what he has to say. And I think sometimes he just stops speaking because he knows your heart and you're like, you're not interested in doing it. You just want it as an option. It's like part of hearing is going, God, I'll do it. Tell me, I'll do it. He has great things planned for you. Wants you to do great things. So whatever it is, tell somebody and be committed to doing it. And right now what we're going to do is we're going to do the last thing that I talked about. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us to worship Jesus through song. And so I want to encourage you to stand up with me. And to just allow the Holy Spirit to guide you as we worship this incredible God that we have.